think back for a moment. Richard Milhouse Nixon shines so brightly in American history that the men and women around him kind of fade into a mysterious black and white. They're washed out, flat, blurry when compared to that distinctive voice and historic crimes of the only U.S. president ever to resign. The names of those around him, his wife Pat, curiously unknown, H.R. Haldeman, John Ehrlichman, Dwight Chapin, mere henchmen of Watergate, as history recalls them, henchmen in a palace worthy of the Borgias, dark, full of backstabbing and intrigue.
I took a camera on all my trips, a Super 8, and I have quite a collection of film. I've never laughed as much as when I worked in the Nixon White House. The sense of humor was the leveling factor. Things, messes we would find ourselves in, or whatever it might be.
The Wacky Laughing Days of Nixon. That's a selection from the documentary Our Nixon, and that's Dwight Chapin thinking back to his days in the Nixon White House, accompanied by Super 8 movie footage of those days, between 69 and 73 home movies of everything from Nixon's inauguration to Tricia Nixon's wedding, pictures taken by Chapin, Chief of Staff H.R. Haldeman, Chief Domestic Advisor John Ehrlichman, 500 reels, all of which were seized by FBI during the Watergate investigation, but they form the core of this new documentary by Penny Lane called Our Nixon, which we've noted is in limited release today. Director Penny Lane is here in the studio. What a treasure trove.
Yeah, kind of.
Did it bring these characters alive for you, characters that we really feel like are black and white cartoon characters?
Yeah, almost? Literally. I mean, I think quite literally in my mind, these three men were represented by a single photograph each, all of which were from the Watergate hearings and from, in the Chapin's case, from a later court date. But I knew the history pretty well, so I knew their names. But it instantly became obvious the minute I saw these home movies that I didn't know anything about them.
From their point of view, the Nixon White House becomes a fun, carefree kind of romp through history. Does it feel that way when you look at the Super 8 footage?
Sure. I mean, you see that that's their position. You know, you can't help – you feel it. It's kind of an infectious, exciting, you know, colorful, awesome experience to work with the president of the United States and to get to go to all these amazing places and meet the world leaders and all these things. So, yeah, you feel it in the footage for sure.
Do you think Nixon selected the people around him to be so sort of anonymous to history, or is it just the way Watergate – painted everyone? Is there something about their relationship?
I think that actually – so H.R. Haldeman was largely responsible for the kind of complexion of the staff's structure in the White House. He was actually the first chief of staff. There was no chief of staff before that. This was the first time that kind of person existed. And the chief of staff is the person who kind of sets the tone and sets the pace and decides what the complexion and character of the staff will be. And he had very specific ideas about what those roles were, and ego was not supposed to be part of it. And you see in the film that there's some tension between a Haldeman and a Kissinger because, you know, Haldeman thinks that Kissinger has an ego, which he did, you know, which was actually a benefit to his role in some ways. But to someone like a Haldeman, it was all about what does the president of the United States want and how can I make that happen, period.
What did these men, at least those who you were able to be a part of and collaborate with, think about you opening this bit of history?
Oh, I didn't collaborate with any of them. So the entire film was made just through archival research and piecing together clips from the historical record. Toward the end of the film, we sent a copy to Dwight Chapin, who is the only of the three who is still alive, to sort of just let him know that we were doing this and that the press might be contacting him. So he
and his response, his sense?
His response was mixed. I mean, as you can imagine, it's a bit odd for him to have someone else take his home movies and fashion it into something that's not a film he would have made. I think he saw that we were trying to bring out the humanity and the brotherhood and the idealism of these young men. And I think he really liked that. But what he didn't like was anything that smacked of making Nixon look anything other than perfect and wonderful. Well, yeah, he's absolutely, you know, he would say himself, a Nixon loyalist. He's still very concerned that history got it wrong and that Nixon's legacy will one day, you know, shine.
Triumph over.
Yeah.
Oh, that's remarkable. That's almost Shakespearean. Penny Lane, thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.
Penny Lane, director of Our Nixon, which goes into limited release today, a documentary on the Nixon years.
Thank you. I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.